going to text my husband to make sure he can hear.
Okay. All right. Okay, call to order. This regular meeting of the mayor and council of the borough of Atlantic Islands is called pursuant to the provisions of the Open Public Meetings Law. Adequate notice has been provided by transmitting the resolution of the annual meetings to the Asbury Park Press and the Two River Times by posting it in the borough hall on a bulletin board reserved for such announcements, and by filing it with the municipal clerk on January 3rd, 2023. This agenda is complete to the extent known, and formal action will be taken. Roll call.
Mr. Colasardo?
Here.
Mr. Crowley?
Here.
Mrs. Cusick?
Here.
Mr. Dougherty?
Here.
Ms. Hornleitner?
Here.
Mr. Murphy?
Here.
Mayor Gluckstein?
Here. Please stand for a silent prayer and pledge of allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, so thank you. I need a motion and a second to approve the previous meeting minutes for May 25th.
I'll make the motion.
Second, Dougherty.
And roll call.
Mr. Colasardo?
Yes.
Yes.
Mrs. Cusick?
Yes.
Mr. Dougherty?
Yes.
Ms. Hornleitner?
Yes.
Mr. Murphy?
Yes.
The minutes have passed.
Thank you. We have two proclamations tonight. Mr. Murphy will be reading the first.
Thank you, Mayor. It's a pleasure and an honor. We're reading the proclamation honoring D-Day, which was celebrated just a couple days ago. Whereas June 6, 2023 marks the 79th anniversary of the D-Day landings and the Battle of Normandy, and is the day that marked the beginning of the end of World War II. And whereas on D-Day, an estimated 156 American, British, and Canadian troops landed on the beaches of the Normandy region of France for what would be one of the largest military assaults in history. And whereas our servicemen showed courage, dedication, compassion, and self-sacrifice as they fought for freedom, for the world, and the end of the horrors of a Holocaust. And whereas more than 400,000 Americans gave their lives in service to their country during World War II, with 6,600 casualties on the D-Day alone. And whereas time and time again, the United States has called upon brave individuals to defend our freedoms around the world. And whereas in times of great danger, the men and women of the armed forces have stood resolute, putting their lives at risk when we needed them the most. In making these sacrifices, they ask for nothing in return. And whereas in the borough of Atlantic Highlands, we encourage our citizens and visitors to take time to remember our fellow Americans who fought and died, so men and women they would have never met know what it is to live in freedom. And now, therefore, Loretta Gluckstein, mayor of the borough of Atlantic Highlands, New Jersey, on behalf of the borough council and the citizens of Atlantic Highlands, do hereby proclaim June 6th, 2023 as D-Day National Remembrance Day.
Thank you. And now the second is declaring June 19th as Juneteenth. Councilwoman Hohenleitner.
Thank you, Mayor. Mm-hmm. Whereas President Abraham Lincoln signed the Emancipation Proclamation on January 1st, 1863, declaring the slaves in Confederate territory free, paving the way for the passing of the 13th Amendment, which formally abolished slavery in the United States of America. And whereas word about the signing of the Emancipation Proclamation was delayed some 2.5 years to June 19, 1865, in reaching authorities and African Americans in the South and Southwestern United States. And whereas Emancipation Day observations are held on different days in different states in the South and the Southwest, and in other parts of the nation. And whereas June 19th has a special meaning to African Americans, and is called Juneteenth, combining the words June and 19, and has been celebrated by the African-American community for more than 150 years. And now therefore, Loretta Gluckstein, Mayor of Borough of Atlantic Highlands, New Jersey, does hereby declare June 19, 2023 as Juneteenth in the Borough of Atlantic Highlands, New Jersey, and urge all citizens to become more aware of the significance of this celebration in African-American history and in the heritage of our nation and borough.
Thank you. And now I will read this. Jerry, her real name is Niles, and I did not know that, but now everyone does. Well, Jerry started working for the borough of Atlantic Highlands Harbor in October of 1991. He then transferred to the street department in February of 94. In February of 2001, Jerry was promoted to assistant superintendent of the street department and still holds this position. Townwide, everyone knows Jerry. He always has a smile, willing to help anyone at any time, and is always quick with a funny comment or a story from a past experience. People that know Jerry are aware of his tremendous knowledge and experience in all forms of building and construction, and is one of the most knowledgeable in every aspect of public works. Jerry is always volunteering to be on call or standby for the borough. After hours, nights, weekends, and holidays, Jerry always answers his phone to come in for storms, emergencies, and is there to lend any assistance to all departments as needed. Jerry has worked on and in every building in town. In every room, every roof, and in the borough, he has constructed way too many things to list. And he even constructed all the picture frames in this room. So, Jerry is truly the definition of a dedicated public works member, and the borough has been blessed to have Jerry as a part of the DPW staff since 1991. So it gives me great pleasure to say that he is now June's Employee of the Month.
Over. Okay, you hold this, and I'll do this. Yeah, the one hand there. Good. Thank you.
And that's Jerry's beautiful wife, Linda.
There you go.
Thank you.
While you can, Linda.
Okay. Now moving on to unfinished business, Ordinance 8-2023, parking ordinance, public hearing, and possible adoption. I need a motion and a second.
I'll move that, Dougherty.
I'll second it, call us right on.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. Are there any questions?
Or comments?
No. Anyone on Zoom?
I don't see any hands up there.
All right. Okay, so then we can move out of public, and now we need a motion and second to adopt.
I'll make the motion to adopt.
Curly seconds.
Second. Okay, and roll call. Mr. Colasero?
Yes.
Mr. Crowley?
Yes.
Mrs. Cusick?
Yes.
Mr. Dougherty?
Yes.
Ms. Weinleitner?
Yes.
Mr. Murphy?
Yes.
Ordinance 8 has passed.
Thank you. Now, Ordinance 9 for the fee ordinance. I need a motion and a second to go into public hearing.
I'll make a motion.
Curly seconds.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Are there any questions on the fee ordinance?
From the public.
Mr. Fisher.
Mark Fisher, 91/3rd Avenue, just one comment. I sent you a revision of the road opening table, let's call it. It kind of doesn't make sense when the more expensive things, the price goes down. So I did it on a linear scale, I suggest that's what it should be, and I'm done.
Very, very nice graphing, by the way. Okay.
So Mayor, I looked at that, and I know the clerk looked at it as well as the administrator, and we don't know, but it certainly makes logical sense that a longer road should cost more to open than a shorter road. But I think we've decided, I'm recommending that you table this and defer to the engineer as to whether these numbers are right. From what I understand, those were not revised, those have been in the ordinance. So we could also, Mayor, we could adopt the revisions tonight and then revisit the old ordinance, which apparently had those numbers that don't make logical sense to those of us who don't know how to open or close roads. But they weren't put in by anybody on this day. So you can do one of two things. You can either move the ordinance and adopt it with the changes, or you could table the whole thing and wait until we get the engineer to weigh in.
Mayor, I would prefer if everyone's in agreement to pass the ordinance, because the police department has been trying to get a road job fee change for months, and they've been waiting for this. So if we could do that, and then...
Okay.
I would agree.
All right, so let's make a motion.
I'll move it.
Second.
Second, and roll call.
Mr. Colasar.
Yes.
Mr. Crowley.
Yes.
Mrs. Cusick.
Yes.
Mr. Dougherty.
Yes.
Ms. Weinleitner.
Yes.
Mr. Murphy.
Yes.
Ordinance 9 has passed.
Okay, thank you. And now we're moving on to the workshop discussion, an alliance update from Heather de Blasi. So Heather, thank you for coming in. Come up here. Yep.
So for those that don't know me, I'm Dr. Heather de Blasi. I am the alliance coordinator for Highlands and Atlantic Highlands. And I've been in this position now for roughly about 14 years as a paid employee. Before that, I've been a volunteer with the alliance since I was at Henry Hudson myself, so many, many years. I won't say how many of them. So thank you very much for your continued support of the alliance. The alliance, as you know, is grant-funded. We do provide drug and alcohol prevention to all the schools in Highlands and Atlantic Highlands. We've been in establishment for about 37 years at this point in time. And over the years, our funding has gone up and down based on what the Dakota grant allows us. So our money that we get to support the alliance and fund the alliance comes from the DUI funding, and it comes from the state. And as you know, it also is a cash match of 25%, which we do share with Highlands, so 12.5% from each town. I wanted to just give you an update and let you know some of the really good things that we're doing in both towns. Besides educating the students and going into all the schools, into the classrooms, we also provide teen night on Friday nights at the Highlands Recreation Center. We do a lot of different programming. So we partner really with anybody that will have us come in and allow us to talk about drug and alcohol prevention. We will do things like glow necklaces and Hawaiian lilies. We'll have, you know, little spots and talk about drug and alcohol prevention and facts. As you know, this is something that is growing, unfortunately. Addiction as a whole, overdoses, you know, our town just suffered another overdose. And unfortunately, it affects everybody. Even if a person is not affected themselves by a drug and alcohol addiction, it affects everybody, whether it's the laws or it's, you know, curriculum in the schools, whatever it may be. So I just really wanted to take just a little bit of time tonight and thank you for continued support. One of the programs that we've been doing now at this point in time is the Peer Leadership Program. We partner with the ELKS. And depending on the year, we send anywhere from 28 students at this point in time, where we started with 2. We've even had as large as 32 students. We send them to a weekend conference. They get exposed to some of the best speakers in the entire country, which is phenomenal for us because as small towns, we don't have the resources to bring in a speaker who gets paid $20,000 a month. But there, you know, our students get to go and experience it, and then they bring a project back to the town where they turnkey what they've learned. So from that, we've done cross-age teaching. Many of you, I'm sure, have seen the billboard that we put up by the old A&P, which is now Goodwill and the Dollar Store. We did that for many years, which was student-designed and student-led. But we really try to give back to the community as to a need that the students identify, that they bring back, that they bring ownership for it as well. So it's a really great program that we have as well. Things that will be upcoming for next year as well, you know, that we come to a close, we do run programs throughout the summer. What we do is we do teen nights. We have a summer program, so every Friday night we have an activity going on so the teens can come down. Teens being anybody that grades going into sixth grade through 12th grade as well. So it's, you know, really great to have them come. We'll partner with the Historical Society. We'll partner with the recreation departments so that it's exposing the teens, exposing the parents to different programs as well. Upcoming for this next year, we're going to be working with the Historical Society to do a presentation on prohibition. I'm not sure how that's going to morph yet at this point in time, but that's something the planning stages as well, same as a lot of the programs that we have as well. Are there any questions for me?
Heather, I have a question. How do you select the students for the program?
So how the program runs with that is because what we do is we take the 6 students from the high school, 22 from the elementary school. Okay. We open it up to the staff of Heather Hudson first, and we let them identify who they feel to be strong leaders in their school. And they can come up with a list of, say, 50 kids. It could be a list of 22 kids. It just is an open list at that point in time. That's round one. From there, it goes to the principals, it goes to the guidance counselor, it goes out to both police departments, it then goes back to the school to make sure we didn't miss anything, and it comes to the alliance so that the members can also see. And each time it gets put to another level, let's say, they can take somebody off at that point in time. You know, maybe they have some kind of information that we're just not aware of. We then come up with our final list. We choose 3 students from Atlantic Highlands, 3 students from Highland, 3 boys, 3 girls, because they're separated in rooms as well. And then what we do is we have our final list of 6 with 1 or 2 alternatives. And then at that point in time, we also come up with 22 students for the middle school as well. Same exact leveling as well.
I think that's fantastic.
Thank you.
Do you ever collaborate with like the Young Explorers or any other organization of young adults?
In the past, we have, absolutely. We will collaborate with anybody that wants us to come in.
Thank you.
Thank
That's
you.
Great.
Thank you.
Do you, sorry if I missed that you said this, do you work with any of the kids in terms of counseling, or are you able to be a conduit to get any kids to counseling that might want it or need it?
Sure. So I'm an addiction psychologist in addition to this position. So I am able to work with the kids as well and, you know, talk with them and counsel them and that. Under the Alliance grants, we're allowed to work with people for 2 sessions, and then at that point we refer out. We also work very closely with the counselors up at the schools so that they're fully involved and it's an encompassing program so that the student has that continuation as well.
Great resource. Thank you.
Do you feel like access to facilities in Atlantic Highlands, like additional facilities, would be helpful? We have limited resources for facilities right now with our senior center, but as we think about potentially acquiring property or how we purpose the buildings that we do have, would that be helpful?
It would be very helpful. In years past, you know, we were able to use the senior center, and we had activities. We do actually programs with the senior center as well in the past, where we've gone in and did medication monitoring with the seniors and partnered with the police department so that we could talk to them also too about, you know, scams and stuff that are out there as well, and it was a really great program. We've also done teen nights out there too, but then it was closed to us.
Okay.
So the last teen that we had was actually in the parking lot of the harbor, which was not really
probably not the best
really to what we did.
Got
so
it.
We just reverted back to Highlands because we had no space to go.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Thank you.
That's good to know. Thank you. We'll work on that.
Great.
Well, I know what a great job you do up at Henry Hudson. And for those, Scott Isaacs has been involved, a name that's been, exactly. So roots run deep. I think, you guys just do an awesome job, and thank you. Thank you for coming out tonight.
Yes, thank you. And actually, mm-hmm. Karen Van Natten, who started
Oh,
my gosh.
As our staff, if you know
yeah.
her.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
She is actually the chairperson of the Alliance. So she volunteers her time as a retired person, and she comes in and gives mm-hmm. a lot back to the community still.
So Mr. Isaacs is directly related with, he works in conjunction
absolutely.
With you. Oh, he's great.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
He's phenomenal.
Yeah, for years.
Absolutely. Yeah, he actually started out in this position, mm-hmm. I don't know, how many years ago?
Many.
I'm not sure what year he started, but yeah, he started out many, many years ago with Karen Van Natten when they mm-hmm. wrote the grant 37 years ago with Tim Hill. Yep.
He's, right. The kids love him.
Yeah.
I bunked with him one year at Camp Bernie.
Yeah.
Rite of passage for every kid in Atlantic mm-hmm. Islands. Yes. Yeah, that's great.
Fond memories.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Heather, thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. I was just going to say, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I think the work you're doing is phenomenal. So keep it up and thank you.
Okay.
All right. Thank you very much.
You.
Take care. So we're going to move on to public comment now on the consent and regular agenda items. Please step forward, name and address.
I know it's not on the agenda, but and I guess Ms. Kusick is going to talk about it later on, but I love coming in and seeing at least three veterans honored at Coach. I think that's terrific.
Okay.
And I sent a letter to Mr. Perugino this week. I don't know if you want me to read the letter, if you're going to address it during your administrators.
You can feel free to read it if you'd like.
Okay. Now, if you come up down, I'm not sure if we're coming up down or not. This is about the flags on First Avenue.
Can we I would recommend at the end.
And maybe he'll comment on it. Then for now, I just want to talk about the resolutions, and mm-hmm. I have no objection to the resolutions that you passed, but I still think that you missed the important things. Mr. Blasi just mentioned a couple of organizations that are sponsoring what it really is a wonderful program. Why don't we have flags honoring those organizations? They're organizations that are doing something to help the community. And I've been putting flags up to honor groups or sects or anything like that, then it would be nice to have flags up to honor the organizations or groups or sects that are working with the community and doing something in the community. It's also, I know that we're recognized Juneteenth on June the 19th, but particularly our United States Army. And mm-hmm. this month, Flag Day, and we'll thank you for that.
The
Flag Day is June 14th, and we're honoring mm-hmm. the oldest force of military in the United States, and yet we haven't even mentioned them. And that's our United States mm-hmm. Army. Happy to see the flags out front, and I know we're going to see more, but we ought to have a proclamation to honor our United States Army as well.
Mm-hmm.
The other days this month, Monkey Around Day. I don't think that we should be honoring that, but that's another day that we could be honoring this month. National Bourbon Day, and maybe we should honor that one this month.
I do.
But also because of the terrible things going on down in Kentucky at the racetrack in Kentucky, and that's kind of a shame. It's World Blood Donor Day. I do think that we ought to honor World Blood Donor Day, but we don't even mention that one.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, God knows that we certainly need blood donors.
Yes, we do.
It's Pop Goes the Weasel Month. I have no idea what that's about, but it is Pop Goes the Weasel Month and Strawberry Shortcake Month.
Mm.
Without even mentioning that we ought to honor a former president because it happens to be his birthday this month. It's just that to pick and choose things that aren't helping our community, that isn't doing anything for our community, and ignoring the ones that really are, kind of seems an insult to the people that are helping us, and I'd just like to bring that up.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. No other hands. Moving on to Zoom. How many people are on right now?
There are 12 people on, okay. But I do not see any hands there.
Okay. So... Yeah, I mean, is there any questions about the budget?
So before,
or comment?
Before we move on for a vote, just to let everyone know, we do have Mr. Matt Holman from HFA on our Zoom, in case if anyone does have any questions regarding the budget. He will be logging off after the segment, so now would be the time, if anyone has any questions pertaining to the budget, to ask those questions. Otherwise, you could email me questions after the meeting tonight, and I'll be more than happy to get you or seek after answers.
See, he is not available to answer any questions.
Okay. Come up. Jerk, can you promote Mr. Holman?
Mark Fisher, still 91 3rd Avenue. A question for Mr. Holman. He's on.
Yes. We're bringing him up. There he is.
There he is.
Matt, can you hear us?
Sorry, I was muted. Yes.
Okay.
Perfect.
Okay, I think in the presentation 2 weeks ago, there were numbers discussed, surplus, I think it was $60,000 or $62,000, and yet we're hearing that the average tax bill is going to go up $92 or $93 this year. Is there any way that that surplus, whatever the number is, could be used to offset the increase in the 2023 municipal portion of the tax bill?
So, I'm not sure where the $62,000 comes from, but I'll answer it best I can. When we do the budget, we always look at the surplus. That's one of the first places where we go. And just to give you an idea, the available surplus that Atlantic Highlands has is $1,195,000. Of that surplus, we're utilizing $1.1 million of that in this budget. I don't even like going that high when using the fund balance or the surplus or fund balance, same terminology there. So I would highly advise against using any more than is currently in this budget.
Okay, which just brings me back to my annual argument of increasing the, let's call it the donation from the harbor into the borough's general fund to help offset any increase in the municipal portion of the tax, property taxes for the year. So I request once again that that be done, raise it from $1,000,001 to something higher, and keep the tax rate flat. Thank you.
The tax rate is actually lowered, Mr. Fisher.
I understand, but tax rate is going to go up overall. Regardless of all the other numbers that we got there, the $92 per household is still increasing.
On average.
By average, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yep. To your point, Mark, the tax rate did go down, but the local purpose tax did go up.
Okay.
Hi, Steve Bryan, 25th Avenue. I think what the gentleman was saying is not $62,000, it's $562,000. So over last year's budget to now, we actually found money at $562,000. Isn't that right, Matt? I mean, the debt service fell off. So that's the $562,000 we have, or had, that we used for the budget.
Yeah, I don't want to confuse that with a surplus number.
Right, the fund balance is something else. I understand that. But that money came into the budget, and then you're saying out of the 1.1, out of the fund balance, you took $1,000,001 and took that money and put that in the budget too?
Yeah, so
all right.
There's a balance at the end of every year, and that's your surplus.
Right. How much is that?
That surplus balance is $1,195,000.
Right, that's what I thought you said, but it sounded different. So we're raising taxes by about $162,000 per year right now. Over last year's budget, after we used the $562,000 of money that we've kind of pretty much found because the debt service is being paid off?
Well, I wouldn't frame it that way. Your debt service that is in the appropriation section of the budget is $562,000 less than it was in last year's budget. However, there's almost every other category of the budget is increasing.
Right. So that is $562,000 still was money we didn't have to pay this year that we had to pay last year that we're using in the budget. And we're raising taxes by the gross amount this year to last year, it was what, $162,000?
Approximately. The local purpose tax levy increase is $158,000.
Right, $158, a little less. So why aren't we taking the $195,000 from the fund surplus? We'll still have a million and giving people who can't afford to pay their bills a break. Why aren't we taking the money we have in the bank for school taxes and taking the interest and using that? You know, why isn't the council concerned about people who are struggling to make ends meet? People who have kids that are saving for college. People who have sick members of the family at home. People who are paying their mortgage. Even though we have people on the council who don't pay theirs. Why are we not doing that? We should not be raising taxes this year. Anyway, that's my comment.
Mr. Holman, if you can, to address Mr. Baracchia's comment, the way I understand it, and correct me if I'm wrong, this $500,000 of debt service ratio that's falling off our books, for the public's understanding, this is money that we would normally be paying out, right? But it's not a windfall of money that we have. We are actually subsidizing the increases, as I see it here. Salaries and wages are up 9.5%. Other expenses are up 11.25%. Deferred charges are up almost 18-19%, and this is money that we're using to cover these charges to reduce the tax increase based on the cost that we need to run from the budget. And if I understand correctly, we're using $1.1 million of that surplus to also, in addition with that fund balance, or that reduction of DSR, debt service ratio, to minimize the increase. Is that, am I understanding that correctly? We're using that money to offset.
That is correct. Yeah, that is very accurate. Yep.
So even by doing so to cover the costs of what we need for this budget, we are actually using $1.1 million of our fund balance, leaving ourselves with only $95,000, and utilizing all of that debt service falling off. Is that correct?
Yes, and actually, yes. We're using the maximum amount of surplus we're actually allowed to use at this point as well. So that's worthy to note.
And Matt, you said this, Councilman Crowley. So we had $1.1 million in surplus. I'm sorry to go over this again. And we're using, we're leaving just $95,000 in there, correct?
That's correct. Now, over the course of the year, you will replenish that amount.
Sure.
Through different operations that occur throughout. Now, obviously, if you do not put back over the course of the year the $1.1 million, you run the risk of the fund balance dropping to a much lower number. And I do anticipate that we will hopefully break even, but we may not because that number is a big number already.
Right. Okay.
Mr. Holman, is there a grant writer in the budget?
There is.
Thank you.
And the expectations with those grant, that grant writer is that this grant writer is going to hopefully find us some money that's going to save us as a borough a ton of money, a lot of money.
Right? Find
or to invest.
Find us money.
Yep. To invest and to make repairs and to invest in our community.
Right.
I mean, there's a popular talking point that we've had flat budgets, that this body has had flat budgets for 5 of the last 6 years. So just a piece of information, if $100 spent in January of 2018, today, in today's numbers, would be $122.39. So you have lost 22.39% of purchasing power. Everything's more expensive. You've been to a grocery store recently. Everything is more expensive. We have a town to run. If you run a household, if you run a business, everything is more expensive. And if we want to provide the services and investments in our community the way we should if we're planning for the future, this is an extraordinarily responsible budget. I said more later.
I can agree that it's a good budget. I think it's important that we invest in our town and maintain what we have. I also think that it is important that if possible, anytime, that we do try to keep that budget flat and keep it low. We have other areas that are local taxes going up between school and county, so we have to do what we can. Now, unfortunately, with the fixed cost that we have this year and inflation and everything else that's going on, we may not have that option of keeping a flat budget this year. But I do think as a council, we need to fight every year to do the best that we can to reduce these taxes going up.
And I believe that's happened.
Yeah. I'm just going to add that for the 5.5 years I've been here, I have... Can we continue, or do we want to finish with everybody else and then we'll come back?
Yeah.
All right. So I just was following the lead of everybody else, but go ahead. Let's finish with everybody else.
Hi, Eleanor Blair, 81 East Lincoln Avenue, Atlanta, Highlands. I have a question for Mr. Matt. I'm sorry I don't have his last name. I'm
Holman.
Holman.
The approach. I just don't understand the numbers. So essentially, what was our total budget last year versus this year?
So when you, just to let you know, when I tell you the total budget number here, it's going to include your state and federal grants that also come through throughout the year. So the total budget, when you look at the prior year, is $9,481,000 versus $8,930,000 this year. But there's approximately $400,000 worth of state and federal grants. Or actually, I'm sorry, there's about $600,000 in state and federal grants that have been added throughout the year last year to that budget number. So if you were to back that off, it's approximately, I like to look at the local purpose tax levy, which is $158,602 greater than last year's budget.
Okay. I can appreciate that you did that to kind of keep the levy down and to be about whatever it was, $100 per household. But that's like the municipal part of the budget, not any municipal part of it's their tax levy. Okay.
That's correct.
Okay. So I was trying to understand that. I feel you're paying that. If we're using 1.1 out of the 1.195 for the surplus, that makes me very, very nervous because that's kind of like the emergency slush fund or anything. But then I look at, there was a number of line items. I looked at the budget just today and I didn't spend a lot of time on that. I apologize, but I will. But I noticed other expenses, and there were a number of lines that said other expenses, and those had significant increases, not small incremental kinds of things that we would expect from cost of living, et cetera. But like twice as much, or 10,000 more, 20,000 more, 50,000 more. And I just wanted to understand, will we be getting some details behind the other expenses that are listed all over the budget? They totaled around 400,000, that's why I'm curious.
Yeah, in the budget document that's there, if you look at the detail of the appropriations, you can see each one broken down per department. Every department obviously comes with any requests for additions. Some of those requests are met and some of those are not. And that comes through meetings with, you know, not only the finance committee, but the administration, you know, through that process in this budget. And I'm kind of speaking, you know, for everybody here in this case, but if there's a difference of opinion, please jump in at any time. I would say that there were certain requests that in the past were not given, and in this budget there were departments that received requests that have been outstanding for years.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you. Yep.
James Krause, 77 Bayside Drive. I like the fact that Mr. Coleman pointed out that the what he focuses on is the overall tax rate. I just did the arithmetic, 2.7%. You know, most of last year, the CPI was 4 to 5% range. Having just done some calculations on some rent increases for March and April of this year, 4.6% for metropolitan area in March, 3.7% in April. So congratulations on holding it to 2.7%. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. So, is there anyone on Zoom?
I do not see any hands on Zoom.
Okay. So, I need a motion and a second to go through the... Let's do the consent agenda. Consent agenda, these items will be enacted by one motion. If detailed deliberation is desired on any item, council may remove that item from consent agenda and consider it separately. Resolution 91, appointment of qualified purchasing agent, Nancy Tran. Rockstar.
Amazing.
Resolution 92, authorizing electronic tax sale. Resolution 93, authorizing extension of property data collection program. Resolution 94, authorizing liquor license renewals for the 23-24. Resolution 95, approval to submit grant application, executive contract NJDOT, the 2024 road program. 96, payment of bills, $973,818.96. Resolution 98, authorizing rent abatement for Sissy's Place. Resolution 99, authorizing non-fair and open contract to the Netta Architects. And we'll do those first and then we'll come back.
I don't think we need to set aside 98-2023, but maybe somebody can give one line of explanation that this is why we're doing this. And just for context for everybody, this is a harbor thing, right? So we have to do this. What happened, I guess, was the business closed. I don't have that context.
The business did not close.
Okay.
But there's compensation being given to Sissy's Place because when the on the deck, which they did an amazing job, and I've been a couple times and it looks great, fiberglassed their deck, which was required by terms of their lease, there was some disruption to Sissy's Place, so this is an accommodation to them.
Okay, great. Thank you.
All right. So, motion and a second for...
Crowley moves.
And roll call.
Mr. Calasardo.
Yes.
Mr. Crowley.
Yep.
Mrs. Cusick.
Yes.
Mr. Dougherty.
Yes.
Ms. Weinleitner.
Yes.
Mr. Murphy.
Yes.
Items on the consent agenda have passed.
Okay, thank you. And now, Resolution 87, adopt the 2023 municipal budget. And before anyone says anything, I want to thank my committee for the hours that they put in. And
our professionals.
Yes, and our professionals. And Mr. Farragina. So I want to thank you. So I need a motion and a second.
I was just going to say that I wanted to say this earlier, but I'll say it now, is that I've always asked that we look at the surplus as a way of buying down and softening the blow to our residents. And looking at this, I don't think we can go any further. I think that you guys have put together a good, smart budget. There are things that are going to get done with this budget that need to be done, right? As we just heard Mr. Holman say, these other departments have been sort of waiting to be able to make improvements. And I don't think that it would be prudent to take any more out of the surplus than you already have. I think it's about the maximum that you can. I know that's always a big concern of mine, and we differ sometimes on that, but I appreciate you all for what you've done, and it's about as much as we can do. We're getting ourselves kicked in the fanny with a global and a national sort of economic squeeze, so thank you.
So I'll second that more. I'll second.
Okay. And...
Before we vote, though, I just want to have one more piece of discussion.
Yep.
I will tell you, it is never easy to raise taxes for anybody out there in our community. When we look at this budget and we look what's happened in the past few years, and we look what's coming down the pike, you know, we're in tough shape. We got a lot of work that needs to be done in the community, in town, and we need to make sure that, you know, we're paying our employees top dollar so we keep that talent. When I look at this budget, I see the grant writer, I see all the department heads receiving what they requested to do what they need to do within town. LOSAP's increased, we're covering significant health insurance increases with minimal impact, you know, and we're adding towards, we got a capital improvement fund of $200,000 for potential use in the future. And there's some really good things here, and I don't want to lose sight of those good things because of this increase. So for that reason, I know I'm going to be voting yes for this.
Okay.
Who moved it?
I did.
Yeah.
Lost track of that.
Sorry.
Now that everyone's spoken, I will vote yes.
Yes.
Mrs. Cusick.
Most definitely yes.
Mr. Dougherty.
Absolutely yes, and thank you to all for your efforts on this. Mm-hmm. It's a good budget.
Ms. Helen Leitner.
Yes.
Mr. Murphy?
As good as it is, still reluctantly voting yes.
Resolution 87 has passed.
Thank you again. Thank you, Mr. Farragina and my committee.
Welcome.
Wonderful. Okay, so now we're moving on to the report. Thank you, Mr. Holman.
I'm in.
We are moving quick, and I'm going to keep that going.
No, jinx it.
We're going to be fine. No, no, no.
That's my mantra.
No. No. There's no report for fire. There's no report for shade tree. There is no, there is a small report for environmental, just to be safe if you feel like you are going to have problems breathing with the air quality. Wear a mask. Don't risk it. Obviously, everyone's health and safety is most important. In terms of recreation, it's time to sign up for summer basketball. For grades fourth grade through seventh grade, the cost for the summer basketball camp is $30. It runs from July 11th through August 3rd. There is also the Biddy basketball camp, which is for kids in grades kindergarten through third. Those two basketball camps will be held on July 12th and July 16th. The cost for that is $15. For more information and for sign up, go to the borough website at ahmj.com. And then lastly, I am excited to announce that we are having a new event at the Harbor this year on September 30th called the Oktoberfest, which is going to be a beer and music festival in coordination with the Chamber of Commerce and also the Yacht Club. And I am excited to announce that we will be having the Moroccan Sheepherders as the musical guests for this event. It should be really fun. And as we get closer to the event, I'll give more updates, but I'm really excited about it.
Nice. Thank you.
I wish I could say that my report's going to be very short, but the departments that I'm reporting on have been doing a lot of work, so I want to make sure that everybody hears about the things that they're doing. So I'm going to start with our DPW. Edwards Way, there's a bump out that I think you've maybe noticed. The bricks were damaged, a truck backed into it over there on First Avenue, and so that is, the insurance is covering the Mason contractor's costs, and that'll begin probably this week or next week. Correct, Jimmy? Yep. Trimming of branches over the next few months. DPW will be doing a townwide sweep to trim branches and limbs around all street signs and make sure that all the borough signage is visible to the motoring public so that you can't go to court and try to fight the speed limit because you didn't see it. So we'll get that cleared up. Bulk pickup. Last Saturday was bulk pickup for zones 2 and 3. This Saturday is zones 1 and 4 for bulk pickup. And please remember that it's a reasonable amount of bulk from each house. So I know some of you are doing, like we are, spring cleaning. So don't overtax the crews if you can, please. And you can see the borough calendar for more information exactly on, you know, what is and is not allowable for bulk pickup. Watering truck. DPW is in the process of converting a vehicle to assist in tree and vegetation watering in the event of any future droughts. Residents are welcome to assist in watering plants and trees that are in need of help during this time. EMS, first aid squad. May, they answered 29 calls versus 19 last year. And year to date, they've answered 172 calls versus 69 this time last year. And I think as of this week, a quote came in to Mr. Faragina for a possible replacement of an ambulance. So we're looking at that so that we can put that to bid. Police department, bike safety skills course, I think we mentioned that last month. That was a big success. And the Memorial Day parade, I don't think we've seen each other since then. So the PD helped coordinate all that and make that flow safely. So thank you, Chief. I see you standing over there for all that. It was very well attended. Police ball was a big success. Thank you for your crew for handling that. It was nice. Great evening. Sergeant Fair is back to full duty. And we're excited to see him back onto to the line. Our new recruit successfully passed his Academy fitness test, so thumbs up to him. And we pass our thoughts on to Captain Murtha while he's continuing to get better. So, Harry, we're thinking of you. And our condolences also to Kristen Powell, who lost her grandmother. Mm-hmm. So we're sorry to hear that. The build for the new Ford Explorer continues. And repairs are happening on the department's body cams. That's underway. And I'll just add in closing here, May, there were 1,391 calls, including 39 first aid calls, 10 for motor crashes, 8 arrests and 314 traffic stops. Maybe that'll go down now that the trees are getting trimmed and people can see the signs clearly. Mm-hmm. So that is it for me, Mayor.
Thank you.
Okay. I don't have anything to report on the seniors other than the club will be meeting on Monday. OEM, we did have to cancel last night's meeting due to the air quality issue, but there's a number of things that were on the agenda, including we're starting an equipment inventory to look at what we may need and may be requesting for next year's budget. So that will be, that's something that's ongoing. And we will not be meeting in July due to the firemen's fair, the conflict at the same time, so everybody make sure you get out to the firemen's fairs, and I know that there is a sign-up sheet someplace for volunteering for the firemen's fair. In terms of veterans, I want to thank Regina Hawley for, I'm sorry, mm-hmm. Regina Kim, for those posters that are out, the portraits that are outside, please take a few minutes to take a look. These mm-hmm. are three of the 14 individuals who have given up their life during a during service to our country. And I just want to say the parade and the service at Memorial Day was wonderful. I think the American Legion does a phenomenal job. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. That's my report.
Thank you.
Hi, thank you, Mayor. I have nothing to report initially for finance or personnel. I do have a brief fire update. The fire department is seeking volunteers to help run the Fireman's Fair, which will be held, as we should all know by now, July 4th through July 8th. Interested parties should call 732-291-1444 and extension 3605. Please leave a message, and President Brian Sheehan will call them back. We had originally planned to have the EMS Task Force present the workshop this evening. That has been rescheduled to Thursday, June 22nd due to a scheduling conflict. So please, if you're interested in hearing some of the conclusions of the task force, please come to our next meeting, the next Mayor and Council, on June 22nd. Finally, Planning Board. Planning Board met on June 1st. An approval extension request from 65 First Avenue was delayed until our next meeting in July, when presumably the applicant can appear to explain in more detail the need for this request. There was one application for bulk variances at 56 Second Avenue that was heard and approved. And I'd just like to take a few words, a few minutes to describe the general planning board process, just a bit of a reminder. Mm-hmm. The planning board as an entity does not decide or choose what is proposed on a particular parcel. The board evaluates applications based on their compliance with the zoning ordinances and allowable uses passed by the governing body of this council. When there are deviations from the development regulations, section 150 of the municipal code, such as building height, floor area, setbacks, etc., the board members closely evaluate these based on the testimony of both the applicant's professionals, architects, planners, engineers, and the testimony of our own professionals, specifically our terrific engineer, Doug Romeyer, and his colleagues at CME, Doug Pavlik, et cetera. The planning board then evaluates and grants variances when appropriate or when positive criteria outweigh the negative criteria. The planning board members put in many hours, both in meetings and outside of these meetings, reviewing materials. And if I make a sports analogy, they act as umpires, applying the rules, making judgments when necessary. It is a dedicated, competent group of volunteers with whom I'm very honored to work, and I've been working with them for the last 7 years. There are pending applications that will likely draw a lot of public interest. I encourage interested members of the public to attend planning board meetings, to ask questions and make comments, and involve themselves in the process. You can even participate via Zoom. Please take the time to get accurate information, relying on the facts and not word of mouth or social media. I, as planning board liaison, will continue to endeavor to keep people informed from the dais as these events proceed. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, Brian. And quick question. Yeah. How much money do they get paid being on the planning board?
That would be $0, Mayor.
Yeah. Thank you for asking. So they just do it out of the love of this town.
It's an incredible group of people, and the institutional knowledge that exists in that group, the Marty Hawley and Jim yeah. Neff and people who've been on that board for years, mm-hmm. I learn something every meeting, mm-hmm. and it's really pretty astonishing. So, thank you.
Yep.
Councilman
no,
Duggan, for clarity, the rules that these umpires go by, it does off the master plan, correct?
No.
for
municipal code.
So the master plan,
The planning board does write the master plan, but the master plan is simply a visionary document for the community. Mm-hmm. What we want to perhaps turn into ordinances on this council. But the planning board doesn't get to make the decisions, and they certainly don't get to say, you know what I really want there? I want a pizza shop. I want an apartment building. They're evaluating applications that come.
Right, sure. And I thought it was in accordance with that master plan, so maybe I was wrong there. But in the past, Councilman Bobbs, I know, has mentioned that there are things that the planning board has asked us to look into. Mm-hmm. Would it be possible to bring that back this year? And maybe look at some of those?
Yeah, we have an annual report that was issued back, I believe, in early February. I'd be happy to represent that, so certainly. And, you know, we could, there's a lot to talk about, because in a lot of instances, our development regulations haven't been updated in quite a while.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Mayor. Very, very briefly, because most of my reporting has been action items tonight, mm-hmm. And thank you to the council for approving our budget. One thing that Mr. Rohmeyer and I have talked about in terms of open space was we've had a lot of conversation about South Avenue Park and whether we'd be able to move forward with the deficit. What the recommendation that CME has made to us is that we do it in stages, so we'll at least get the park back up and running with the funding that we already have, and we'll look with our grant writer to be able, who we're meeting with tomorrow, which is another part of my report, to have the add-ons that we really do want to make possible, and that will have involved definitely a lot of community input from the neighbors. Down in the harbor, just to give a little clarity on the Netta architect, the Harbor Commission was presented with a couple different options for an architect that will evaluate the towboat building and make recommendations and hire a contractor to do the repairs. So we have made that priority in the harbor, and that's moving forward. Netta is incredibly well qualified, and their proposal was really well written. So thank you to the council for approving that tonight. Also, there's been a lot of cleanup done on the harbor that was done over the past couple weeks, and it's looking great. I know there's a couple places where we need to add a little yellow paint to the curbs, but we're working on those as we mm-hmm. speak. And then tomorrow, as I mentioned, we're meeting with Sarah Aubrey, who we will now be engaging as our grant writer. She's very accomplished and works for other municipalities in the state of New Jersey. We're looking at every single priority that the borough has so that we can find all the possible grant monies for that. And also the Harbor Finance Committee is meeting with Mr. Holman tomorrow to talk about what Mr. Fisher has been asking about, which is how we can best structure the harbor budget to be able to potentially increase the contribution to the municipalities. That's happening tomorrow afternoon.
Who's meeting with Ms. Aubrey?
With Ms. Myself, the borough administrator, and Ms. Aubrey.
Great. Glad that's aboard. That's happening.
It's been a priority.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Ms. Murphy.
Thank you, Mayor. Not a whole lot left for me. A couple things to add to Mr. Crowley's DPW. The new recycling schedule, as mentioned every time, is every other week, and it's working great. Most of the residents are already seeing the benefits of this change, so thank you to DPW for putting that in place. Borough Hall, over the winter and ongoing, the DPW members and electrical and HVAC contractors have been working on upgrades, repairs, and services to the building. More work is scheduled in the electrical and HVAC shortly. Please refer to the borough calendar for any further information. Councilman Crowley, when you were speaking about bulk pickup, were you referring to the brush pickup that's on this list here? And I'm not sure if you mentioned the dates in which they were.
I have put my notes away.
All right, well, I'll mention it just in case.
Please.
Zone 1. Brush pickup is the next townwide zone by zone brush pickup will be starting on the following Mondays. If you want to take note, Zone 1 will be Monday, May 29th. Zone 4 will be Monday, June 5th.
That already happened. But Jim, my brush has already been picked up.
Oh, well, then apparently I need to get updated reports here because this is what I have. But that explains why I didn't see bulk pickup on my list.
My bulk pickup has not been picked up.
Well, there you go. Well, then that literally leaves me with almost nothing to talk about. So I have
the cardboard
What about the game update? What's the score?
I don't know the score, but I did happen to notice a sad face emoji come over. So
No.
Doesn't look like my son won the championship game. No, I appreciate that. I mean, we could keep talking during my report. No, I'm just kidding. We'll let it go. That's all for me. We have cardboard. We have the
Education Foundation cardboard race is tomorrow. If you're interested, there's
Saturday.
It's Saturday, excuse me. I can't even keep track of what day it is. I'm so upset about this game. And where can that information be found? That's on their website, right? The Henry Hudson?
It's at the Sandbox, 9 a.m. The leave starting and for building and the race, I'm sure Mr. Bums will hopefully.
Awesome. There you go. And if you have not witnessed one of these races, it is a show. It's definitely worth it.
It's fantastic. I went last year. It was really enjoyable.
Fantastic. Yeah. So thank you. That's it for me, Mayor. Okay. Appreciate your time.
Thank you. And now, Borough Administrator.
Okay, thank you, Mayor. So the New Jersey Department of Environmental Protection has issued a Code Red Air Quality Action Day for fine particles in New Jersey and all of Monmouth County until midnight Thursday night. An air quality advisory means that air quality within the region may approach or exceed unhealthy standards. This message has been placed on our borough website, our borough Facebook page, shared with all department heads, and the borough has issued a swift alert, which residents should have received, I believe, yesterday. In addition, the borough placed copies of a flyer at the front counter here at Borough Hall, flyers from the New Jersey Department of Health, which list actions to protect health on poor air quality days. For people who want to gain additional knowledge, you can go on www.airnow.gov, or you can call the New Jersey Bureau of Air Monitoring at 609-292-0138. Okay. The borough received a $13,249.10 check from the state for the Clean Communities Grant. In addition, the borough has been awarded and has received $2,000 for the Sustainable Jersey Grant funded by the PSENG Foundation. In addition, the borough received a purchase order from the borough of Seabright in the amount of $27,439.10 for disbursement of LEAP grant funds.
Yes. Hallelujah. Yes.
Yep. The Atlantic Highlands Yacht Club cordially invites the public to attend their annual Blessing of the Fleet held in the Municipal Harbor Saturday, June 10 at 1300 hours. The flag officers of the club will be reviewing the fleet at the end of Pier 4. The procession of boats includes those from the U.S. Navy, U.S. Coast Guard, New Jersey State Vessels, Atlantic Highlands Yacht Club, and other yacht clubs, and an array of private vessels. As the boats pass in review, they receive a blessing and cannon salute. Dignitaries from Atlantic Highlands and other municipalities, along with the general public, will review the fleet from the end of Pier 4 or other vantage points around the harbor. The borough has been advised that the 12th annual Atlantic Highlands Chamber of Commerce Classic Car Show will be held Saturday, June 17th from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., rain date June 18th. The event will have over 100 classic cars, vendors, music, goodie bags for participants, trophies for 13 different categories, and prizes. Governor Murphy has signed Executive Order Number 331, ordering the flag of the United States and the flag of New Jersey to be flown at half-staff during appropriate hours on Friday, June 9th, tomorrow, in recognition and mourning of Judge Lisa Payne Thornton. Today, June 8th, is World Oceans Day. It is observed to raise global awareness about the importance of the ocean in our lives and the ways through which we can protect it. I felt that that was necessary to notate that since we are a community that's right on the ocean here. On Wednesday, June 14th, the U.S. Army is 245 years old and counting. The annual celebration marks the date in history in 1775 when the Continental Army was formed by the Second Continental Congress and commanded under General George Washington to fight against Britain. And I want to thank Muriel Smith for bringing that to our attention at the last meeting, which led me to do that little bit of research to read this evening. So thank you. And finally, I'm happy to report that the curb in front of the movie theater that has been in disrepair for a long time has been repaired. And that's it. Thank you.
Mr. Farragian, Mayor, while you mentioned the air quality conditions and also Councilman mentioned as well, I want to thank the first aid squad because they went around today distributing masks to people, and I know that they've done a complete accounting of all their gear, so all their oxygen is ready and available, God forbid anybody needs it, but they are completely on the ready, and just thank you for handing that out today. Mm-hmm.
They did a great job.
Thank you, they did.
Good. Yay.
Drew.
Just the engineering update. So there's a current road program that MECO is finishing up. They have some punch list work they need to complete before that's closed out. Next year's road program, East Garfield and Grand, is in the design phase. That should be submitted to DOT shortly. The next phase of DOT grants is due in July, so we are advancing that application, and that should be, again, that should be submitted shortly. There are a couple parks, Center Ave Park, we're working on the survey and design phase of that one. And then South Avenue Park, as Ms. Hohenleitner said, we have a concept plan. We're just trying to figure out how we're going to phase this or get additional funding to get that work completed.
Okay, thank you.
So, based on Ms. Smith's comment, I'm going to sua sponte research whether or not we can actually have a National Bourbon Day recognized by municipality. I did, and at the last meeting, Mr. Fisher asked a question that I was asked to look into whether or not our fingerprinting ordinance would cover the sailing club. If the sailing club is conducted on borough property, I think it is, then I think our ordinance extends to that. And the other, we looked into a further question, which is whether or not we could regulate private entities working in our town. If they're not using public property, then it's iffy. But I think we would need to amend the ordinance to do that, and it probably would be challenged, but frankly, it's up to the council. It's something you could look into doing. Mm-hmm. In addition to that, we revisited the fee ordinance that was drafted by my office, but based on information that had been received from the various departments, and so we're looking at that again now. You passed it, and we will look into the question of whether or not that makes sense logically, and hopefully we'll get engineering consult on that, because I don't know how to open a road or close a road. I also have been dealing with issues that arose in the executive session and have day-to-day interaction with staff and in particular the BA, who is a delight, but I talked to him at least once a day. Thank you, Bob.
Thank you. So, now moving on to public comment. You can move forward with your question or comments. Okay, she had her hand up first.
I'm Emma Moore, 81 East Station Avenue, Vice Commander of the American Legion, and wanted to thank the Borough Administrator Rob, DPW Jimmy, and Harbor Crew for bringing the flag disposal box to an indoor location, another convenient location for our residents to bring in any worn out U.S. flags that are not suitable for display. They will undergo a proper retirement, either by burning or burying, and you're going to have the Girl Scouts do the next
ceremony.
That's great.
Is there a schedule for that? Because I didn't know if it was...
Wait until we collect enough. And
okay, so we can drop them off anytime.
Sure.
They used to do the Boy Scouts. Troop 22, no, but for years they did that. Yeah. That's fine.
Yeah.
And so, Dwyer, there's two drop-off boxes, right?
We have two drop-off boxes. One's down the hall here.
Correct.
And that was named by Eagle Scout. Now Eagle Scout, due to the process of building the boxes, he's a Mass student named Scott Lee, and he approached us in January to do this, and he actually earned his Eagle Scout award for that, for doing this and helping us out, as well as several other organizations to have a proper flag disposal box.
And the second box is located at DPW?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. No. She's, yeah. Now, stay.
Muriel's
first. Ms. Smith.
Yes, that's right. I think we should all listen to the mayor when she talks about proclaiming another day during the month. But I think that's a great idea. So. And I also want to thank that police alert thing that you do get. I think that's a wonderful idea, and it's deeply appreciated. One more thing that the police department does that's pretty terrific, along with the first aid. I have no problem with any of them. I'm glad to see that you're taking some action on the CETO building. Are you ever going to hold anybody accountable for paying it and saying that the work was done and everything was fine 2 years ago? Or is nobody ever going to be held accountable for that?
So that's a matter, as you know, we're in litigation, and it's also an executive session item for the Harbor Commission. So I would defer to the Harbor Commission attorney. I know he did provide an update this week at the Harbor Commission meeting. I don't think it's, I wouldn't advise anyone at the dais to really comment on that matter, but it's a fair question. If you wanted to raise it to the Harbor Commission attorney, you could either come to the next meeting or you could email me, and I'd be happy to forward it to him, and he could interject as he feels appropriate. But beyond that, I don't feel comfortable.
No, nobody here was at the Harbor Commission? I was not at the Harbor Commission meeting because I can't make all the meetings, but was anybody here at the Harbor Commission meeting that could say whatever he said? Or...
Councilwoman and I were both at the Harbor Commission meeting, but due to the legality issue, we're not speaking on it.
You can't say what happened publicly? Did he tell it publicly or in executive session?
So the public message was that we are proceeding forward with an architectural firm, which was approved this evening by this body through resolution. We are proceeding forward with litigation. Beyond that, I wouldn't feel comfortable saying anything.
Okay. Thank you, Pat. I'll read this letter, but basically, I'll read it if it's easier. It's basically about just courtesy to our American flag. And, Mr. Ferragine is terrific about answering my emails. I was just wondering why he didn't, so possibly if he didn't get it, then I'll even go along with that. That's how sometimes happens. As the daughter, widow, mother, grandmother, and great-grandmother of men and women who have or are serving in our military, and as a woman proud of the United States, I would respectfully ask that you please have all of the multicolored flags that are on streetlights along with the American flag removed immediately. The flags are offensive because of the belief that they stand for, not only to Christians, but to Jews and Muslims as well. They are offensive to science and to all Americans who may want their own organizations, beliefs, or differences, abilities, or disabilities honored at the same level as the American flag. The code for flying standard of any belief or advertisement with the American flag still holds that no other flag or pennant should be placed above or, if at the same level, to the right of the flag of the United States of America, except during church services conducted by naval chaplains at sea. The display of the flags on streetlights along First Avenue is a matter of perspective. Depends on which direction they're done. Looking at them from one direction, the multicolored flag is indeed to the left of the American flag. Yet, from the other direction, traveling along First Avenue, it is very definitely to the right of the American flag. I find that offensive to my nation's standard. Is the American flag only to be honored part of the time, or dependent upon where you're going or coming from? The manner in which the multicolored flag is flown shows absolutely no deference to the American flag, nor enough respect to have it always facing left of the American flag. That is also true with the second flag on the borough's front lawn. From one point of view, it is to the left of the American flag, as it should be. From the other point, it is to the right. The American flag needs more respect than to be only honored and respected from one viewpoint and not all viewpoints. Friday, and I think you addressed this, Friday, Governor Murphy has directed all the flags to be flown at half staff to honor the late, highly appreciated and very honest Judge Lisa Thornton, a woman of great esteem and the first black woman ever to be a Superior Court Justice Assignment Judge in Monmouth County. Maybe in New Jersey, but I'm not sure of that.
She's a great judge. One of my first court appearances was before Judge Thornton, and she was extremely lovely, and for a young attorney, very gave me a lot of leeway because I had no idea what I was doing then. So I really, it was very sad for those who practice family law in New Jersey and who appeared before, and any lawyer in New Jersey.
Mm-hmm. You're absolutely right. Thanks a lot. She's one of the few lawyers, judges that you see as highly respected as she is. You're absolutely right. Thanks for mentioning that as well. With the multicolored flags on the streetlights, when the flag in front of the borough wall is lowered at half staff, then those other flags will be flying higher than the American flag standard. Is that what Atlanta Finals wants to do? Is that what this borough wants to be recognized for? And we will go at half staff, I'm assuming, for Judge Thornton. Mm-hmm. So I'm also assuming that the flag next to it will be lowered at half staff as well, so it doesn't stand any higher.
So the executive order, Order 331, requests that American flags and state flags are lowered to half staff. It does not mention anything else about any other flags. So I'd have to look into that.
But it does, the guidance for American flags is that no other flag will be flying higher than it. So I would like to see that in the well, either removed or lowered, at least in honor of Judge Thornton.
I'll look into that.
Thank you kindly, I appreciate that. That's good enough for me then. Thank you very much.
All right, thank you. Mr. Fisher?
Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Barbado. Nope. Go ahead.
I'm making a drink.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mark Fisher, 91 Third Avenue. Just curious if there was any arrangements yet for the application here at the 161st Avenue Planning Board, the large venue.
Do you mind if I?
So, not yet.
Not yet?
Not yet.
Okay. The contract work was going hot and heavy. It came to a screeching halt. I was wondering if there was any questions asked of the developer or the LSRP contractor for the property, if there are any environmental issues we should be concerned about.
Mm-hmm. So, as it relates to some of the comments that I made at the last meeting, I did confirm the next day that all appropriate certifications have been issued. I know that there was a comment about an odor. I went there myself personally. I didn't smell an odor. That doesn't mean that there wasn't one there, but I didn't personally smell one. And I reached out to the contractor, and they didn't have any issues that they identified to me. So for all intents and purposes, I'm not aware of any concerns or issues there.
Okay, just seems curious that there was an environmental contractor on the site, and now all the work has stopped, so I'm still curious.
Okay.
The AM radio.
Thanks for asking. The antenna, thanks to the DPW crew, just was placed on top of the building on Tuesday, I believe. You can, when you're leaving, you can turn around and look up and see it there on the corner. And the invoice went out for the antenna cable, which is, there's two last remaining things to be done. The antenna cable needs to be run from the antenna through the raceway into where the radio now resides. It's, the shelves are all put up, as I mentioned, 2 weeks ago. And then we need to, Mr. Ferengino and I were in conversation about, need to get the Ethernet over to the radio so that we can operate it remotely. So those are really the last two pieces of, you know, the construction of the radio. So we're close. We're within shouting distance.
When's the ribbon cutting for WAH?
NJ? I don't, you know, when I'm reliant upon the goodwill of others, I'm hesitant to go on record and give you a specific date. Plus, I'm going to want to do a soft open on it, make sure we're up and running, and then we'll announce. But God willing, you know, God willing, I'm hoping within the next 30 days.
Good.
Yeah.
Okay. Just one other comment about 161st Avenue. I was glad to hear that the planning board has made the decision and approved the hiring of a traffic and parking expert to counter the developer's traffic and parking expert. I think this is the first time that the ordinance that was passed a couple of years ago now will be the developer will cover the cost of the borough's traffic and parking expert for the project. So that's progress. Any update on the Mother Teresa track?
No updates.
Just for the edification of the mayor and council, there's a lot of rumors starting to swirl about the Masonic Lodge property. I've heard everything from six houses to a four-story apartment building, to a six-story apartment building in an R1 zone. So just be aware that the conversation is out there, and I know once the 160 conversation starts, the Masonic Lodge is right next door, and it's going to be part of that conversation by the way. Just be aware that there is a lot of conversation about that. And that's all I have.
Thank you. Barbado.
Paul Barbado, 22 Laurie Road, aka Lousy Road at Time. I would like to first thank Michelle, Clark, and Beth for doing a wonderful job as usual with the elections at the ESSA. Thank you again because you make it much easier for all the workers. I just wanted to also add that Flag Day is June 14th. Right, Mark, you're on?
Correct.
Okay.
Army birthday, too.
Huh? It's the Army birthday, too. And it's also our former president, one of our former president's birthday. I don't have to tell you who it is.
Yes, it is.
Okay. I don't know if the audience knew that.
Mm-hmm. But,
The situation with the legal fees, I brought it to your attention, and I don't think the understanding that Mr. Ferrantino was going to give me some information on that.
So, you know, under the advice of legal counsel, we're not really supposed to be compiling data for residents. So I would encourage you, if you're looking for invoices themselves, you can file an OPRA request, but you would have to compile the data yourself.
Okay, well, I have done two, and I will do another, but I need to get exactly the titles and everything. So I don't have that. So could I get that information to put it in the OPRA? Because I have to request it specifically.
Right, so we can provide documents through OPRA, but you have to identify the specific documents.
Well, okay.
In the OPRA request, so you have to fill out the OPRA request.
Michelle or someone in the...
That's not their job.
Assist me with knowing which ones and how to phrase the...
I don't know the answer to that question, if they're permitted to do that or not. I'd have to look into it.
You want me to request something, but I don't know the terminology anymore.
No, you want.
We would need you to guide us to tell us what you're looking for.
I just want the amounts, the total amounts of the legal fees that the three lawyers who have been working for the original station.
Right, so we cannot compile that data for you. If you want
the actual invoices for the name the three lawyers, and then
I got some of those.
Okay,
I got some, but I'm wanting to get a comparison of what you're on the finance, right? And I was trying to get what numbers that you have, because your numbers may not jive with the numbers that I have. Because at this point, I got about $45,000 in fees, but that's only partial, because I have to put another OPRA in, because that was from one that ended January 31st. Now the lawyers are still working on the regionalization, and they probably will be until it goes to for an election, or when it goes to be voted on. So these fees are going to be continuous.
So you can ask, just give them a start date and an end date. Obviously, they can't give you fees in the future, but ask for all the invoices that have been generated by those firms from X date to Y date. And
so if I can put it globally in that way of saying I want the start date and date and all, I will get enough of the information so I can calculate it.
You should, unless the lawyers redact it. And I understand.
The stuff that I've gotten so far has been pretty good.
Okay.
I just want to get the whole deal.
Yeah, just identify the specific firms in your request.
I'll work on it. And then the telephone pole, hopefully will be, the replacement pole will be in by the end of the month.
Thank you.
Good.
Thank you. Oh, one last thing. We've been here for about 25 years now. I would like, just a suggestion. I think it would be a good idea for the candidates who are running for mayor at this point in time, that we have a debate between the candidates.
That has nothing to do with us. That has nothing to do. Okay, thank you.
I'm making a suggestion to the council that I would like to know how to go about that we can get a debate between the candidates who want to run for mayor. I think it would be good.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes. Allison Forbes, 86 East Mount Avenue, Atlanta. First, I want to thank the council past and present for resolutions 124-2020, 096-2021, 103-2022, and 86-2023, all of which had bipartisan support, and all of which allowed for the pride flag to be displayed at Borough Hall during the month of June. 2 weeks ago, it became apparent to me that there are residents of Atlantic Highlands that don't understand why it is necessary to publicly fly the pride flag in support of LGBTQ+ folks during Pride Month. I prepared a short statement that should help illuminate why a community, even one as inclusive as ours aspires to be, should continue to show this support. Pride flags represent something significant and profound. In a world that continues to oppress LGBTQ plus individuals, these flags declare that every person, regardless of their sexual orientation or gender identity, deserves respect, dignity, and equality. We fly pride flags as beacons of visibility, inspiring folks to both live authentically and find the courage to stand up against discrimination. By displaying these flags in Atlantic Highlands, we are signaling that this town is a safe space where people can live without fear of judgment, prejudice, violence, or hate. According to the Trevor Project's most recent survey, which was in 2022, 45% of LGBTQ plus youth have considered suicide. Nearly 1 in 5 transgender and non-binary youth have attempted suicide. 73% of LGBTQ plus youth report experiencing symptoms of anxiety just living their daily lives. And these trends have remained flat since 2020. We're not doing better. In fact, things are getting much worse. The Human Rights Campaign reports that in terms of the sheer quantity of legislation being introduced in this country that seeks to limit the rights of the LGBTQ plus community as a whole, quote, 2023 is shaping up to be historically bad. Moreover, hate crimes against LGBTQ plus individuals persist. The FBI reported nearly 2,000 incidents of anti-LGBTQ plus hate crimes in 2021, which is the most recent data they've made available. The good news is, LGBTQ plus youth who live in a community that is openly and visibly accepting of LGBTQ plus people reported significantly lower rates of distress than those who do not. By raising these flags, we raise awareness of the challenges still being faced by our fellow citizens and advocate for a society that embraces diversity and honors the rights of all. Atlantic Highlands should continue to fly flags during Pride Month, if not all year round, to represent a collective commitment to continue the fight for full equality and to dismantle discriminatory systems that target the LGBTQ plus community. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Allison, I want to say something just to correct the record here, too. When we talk about the U.S. Army, we talk about Pride, the Pride flag, and then I know we're having fun, but when we start throwing in bourbon and Monkey Month, I think it's disrespectful to our U.S. Army and to our folks that are represented by Pride. The other thing, and I know my flag etiquette pretty darn well, when we're talking about no other flag can be higher than the U.S. flag, that means on the same standard, on the same pole. Because otherwise, we might have to take down Borough Hall flag because maybe the Wells Fargo flag is higher, or a flag that's on top of a building. So just so we know our etiquette, so we're correct, okay? Thank you.
Thank you.
The only reason why I'm bringing up this is because there are rules and regulations to the flags and where it's supposed to be flown. And the American flag is taken as seriously as there's a certain way you're supposed to fold it, there's a certain way you're supposed to raise it, there's a certain way you're supposed to bring it down off the pole, and there's a certain way you're supposed to dispose of it. And that's all due to the respect of the flag, regardless of what color, creed, nationality, who cares? It's the respect of the flag, it's the respect of the United States. And that's why I made that comment.
Thank you.
I would say it's important that we respect all residents' opinion and concerns, whether we agree with them or not.
So,
Alan Mador, 81 East Lincoln Avenue. I can appreciate what everybody's saying, and I think the borough did a terrific job. Rob, I know we've known you a couple of times this past year since the flag issue came up, and it wasn't about the LGBTQ flag, it was about any special interest flag being on the same flag pole. And I thought the Solomon's decision was wise. You created a second flag pole, we shouldn't have a problem. So I just want to say thank you for that. And I don't think we have a problem, and I hope that more organizations step forward to have their flag featured on the second flag pole.
I appreciate that.
I have arguments on which one is the highest pole.
Appreciate it.
And that was
thank
in the
you.
Budget. He made sure that was in this year's budget.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Okay. I see no hands. Oh, all right.
Steve Rocky, 27 there. Just a quick question on regionalization. How did we get to the deal that we finally came about
Any other questions? The 85-15.
Mr. Farragina can speak on that.
So we had a tri-borough meeting where the expert Bob Beneke explained all of that and answered questions to the public.
It was a great meeting.
And all three municipalities agreed and unanimously passed a resolution to approve.
Anyone question the fact that last year we're losing $500,000 a year under this deal? This was a deal that we expressly rejected. It's a 50-50 deal. At which point somebody was throwing around, I'm not going to get into that, and we went through that, and the deal soured. And now the deal that Highlands wanted is the one we gave them. So we're giving up $2.5 million over the next 5 years with this deal. At the same time, raising taxes, which, look, I respect you guys. You make the decisions, you got it, and it's a tight budget. So I do dislike that. I don't agree with it, but you know what? It's what it is. But then we give up this opportunity to save $2.5 million over the next 5 years. I think it's just, we're just being mismanaged.
There's a savings sharing agreement in the resolution that passed.
So we can get a 50, because last year was a 50-50 deal.
Even, I believe the wording was even split. 50-50 wasn't in there, but evenly divided between.
It's an even deal, but it's a different story. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm trying to point out, because it wasn't clear. All right, that's great insight.
Okay.
All right,
thank you. Okay, so I don't see hands up. I'm moving to Zoom right now. Any hands up on Zoom?
There are no Zoom hands up there.
Okay, so I need a motion and a second.
I'll make that motion.
Go into executive session.
To go into executive session.
I'll make the motion.
Okay.
30 seconds.
All in favor?
Aye.
And this should last.
No action.
We will not be taking any action.
Okay,
thank you.
We're good. Mr. Murphy,
may I have a we have quorum. Okay. May I have a motion and a second to come out of executive session?
I'll move that.
Crowley seconds.
All in favor?
Aye.
May I have a motion and a second to adjourn?
Crowley moves.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
We're adjourned.
Yeah, thanks. Have a good night.